Fred Film Radio, Karlovy Vary International Film Festival, Czech Republic.
Joining us at this time on the Big Fred Tuesday, filmmaker Dea Lukacs. Dea, welcome to the show.
Hello, thank you, Matt.
Now, Dea, it's a real pleasure to have you here. You will be presenting your new feature film, Roots in the East of the West competition at Karlovy Vary, the Karlovy Vary International Film Festival. First off, for the listeners who are not familiar with the film, so that we can kind of get into it in more detail, would you mind telling us a few words about it, of introduction, I guess?
Well, first of all, I'm very looking forward to our premiere at Karlovy Vary International Film Festival, since this film is really made for the big screen. We aimed for a very cinematic approach, even though the film is kind of a mixture of, I would say, directorial choices. It follows a set of passengers on the backseat of a moving car who embark on a journey within a small city in Croatia, Dvor. And basically their stories, I wanted to portray kind of a conflict of transience and eternity within the region, and to preserve the memories and customs and stories from the region.
Now, just so that we understand this a little better, are we talking about a documentary, a fiction, a hybrid? What's the situation?
That's
there?
A great question, Matt. I tried avoiding that. I think it is a very important discussion to be had, since like so many films today are mixing the approaches in a way that the words that we use to describe certain things are starting to mean maybe something else. So when roots are concerned, it was funded as an experimental film, and I do not see it as pure documentary, but it obviously has documentarial approach to it, at the same time as very like structural formalistic approach, as well as anthropological and a sensory ethnography approach. So it's not a hybrid in terms of having fictional elements, but some things are slightly staged in terms of, well, more specifically to the vehicle and the passengers in the vehicle, of course, for the purposes of shooting. And even though that is somewhat of a like standard practice in documentary filmmaking, you know, you need to like fix some things up for the, to get a beautiful shot. I think, in this kind of mixtures of different things, the question does arouse, like, where is the limit? Where is the line? Like, how much, is enough and how much is a bit too much? Yeah. So, no fictional elements, but definitely the vehicle and the passengers that were in it were not fully in, I would say, natural environment. So if I wanted to, I could have chosen more minimal means. Mm-hmm. And just to clarify, to give an image to the, a visual to the listeners, I did somewhat like naively envision to film passengers in the backseat of a moving car, in just like a regular car, like my grandfather's car. But then of course we realized that's not going to be possible in order to get the visuals, that we want. And this film is very concept driven. So we did, ended up, of course, renting a vehicle, soundproofing it, like doing the rigging of the camera and everything. So in that way, it became sort of like a small studio, I would say, which was important to get the visuals, but as well, we tried really hard to maintain the intimacy of the ride, not to like disrupt that balance. Although I am aware it's, it's an interesting discussion to be had about the like new forms of filmmaking approaches and how to classify those films.
So speaking of being naive, this could be a naive question, but maybe you have an interesting answer for it. Do you think that there is something in particular about the back of a moving car that helps people open up?
Oh, definitely. I definitely think so. This film was largely inspired by my grandfather, who was for the longest time somewhat of a designated driver of people in the area. So I spent A lot of time driving around with him and seeing like different people on the backseat of a car, but also from my own experience. And I think a lot of people can connect to that. Like after a while during the ride, you're kind of humped and in a way hypnotized by the road. And you do feel it like as an intimate space where you can maybe share something somewhat, as with a taxi driver, someone you will not see again. So you feel safe to maybe say something that otherwise you wouldn't so easily open up about. So those two things, like my personal experience, as well as the inspiration from the wild, or like unofficial taxi drivers from the area, was the, one of the basis of the concept that this film has.
Thea, can you tell us more about the town or the village where the film is set? I mean, I understand that there's a personal connection there.
Yes, for all my talk about like the concept and structural and formal and all other, let's say, like more technical points, this film is actually very personal. It was shot in my hometown that is called Dvorno Uni. It is a small town and a municipality in Croatia that I left when I was very young, when I was six, due to war breaking out. So around, well, the data is not conclusive and people have arguments about it. So let's not go into maybe numbers between 100,000 and 250,000 people had to leave their homes. And I was lucky enough that I was young enough not to have that trauma connected to it. But as I grew older, it just dawned on me how it was a crucial point that turned my life around. So coming back sometimes few times a year, sometimes once a year, to visit my grandparents, who after a while returned back. I didn't, here I'm still living in Serbia. It just, I got an overwhelming feeling of things disappearing, of memories being lost, of only having like oral stories being told, like no material proof that something's existed. Some from like very personal stuff, let's say photos of my family or some toys I used to play with, to more, broader things like customs and experiences. So, I did want to preserve it in a way, that was like one, part of it, one of the reasons for making the film. And second was also to move a bit away from what I just talked about, like not to constantly perceive the area through this lens of the war, even though it is inevitably still in the DNA of the place. I kind of wanted to look at life, you know? So those were the, like, to offer both from people from the region and to myself, some light, of a place that is unfortunately often when mentioned associated with some dark events. So those were like the personal, reasons for, choosing to film there instead of, going somewhere else to shoot it. Somewhat, even I would, in some moments, I thought, sort of a moral duty to do it.
But is there also like a spiritual dimension to it? I don't know whether that's the right word, but I guess, you know, it goes back to the fact that within by following these or by filming these seven groups of passengers, you essentially symbolically follow a lifespan, because we go from a group of children to an older man remembering a childhood memory. Can you tell me more about that? I mean, is that a sort of a spiritual dimension to it too?
Wow, well, that's an interesting observation. I didn't consider it, phrasing it in such a way, but now that I hear it, it can be perceived, like that as well. I think it was unconscious. We had a list of stories that we wanted to film. And I did have a vague order in mind to which they would play out in the film. But only when we went there on the location and when we shot what we, all the conversations and passengers and let's call them teams. That's what I call them, teams. We realized that we do have a lifespan. And that is something that I found very... I don't want to use the word like serendipity or something like that, but I found it very fitting to everything that was the aim of this film. And, that order was, I would say, more, subconsciously achieved than it was, consciously directly, searched for.
Yeah. I love serendipity though. It's a good word and it's a great thing. But, so I wanted to return to though something. Well, I mean, watching this film, I guess, immediately recall to mind the words of the great Wim Wenders who once said, the camera is a weapon against things disappearing. Would you agree with that statement?
I would wholeheartedly, agree with that statement. And even one of my favorite, books is Roland Barthes' Camera Obscura, where he talks a lot about like our relationship with camera, both video camera and film camera. I mean, like photography and videos, and our outlet or a desire or our maybe like longing to defeat that. To preserve. So as long as something is remembered, it is in a way alive. And I think it's just like a very basic and universal human need to hold on to something.
From a filmmaking point of view, there's also shots of kind of the wilderness surrounding the town. Can you tell me about the aesthetic quality of the place? Because this is something that we haven't talked about. And how important was it for you to also include these shots of just this wilderness and these forests and nature?
It was very important. And so the concept from the start was always to intersect the journeys and the passenger stories with shots of nature, because it is the place itself is surrounded by beautiful vast forests and clean rivers and really just a rarely seen untouched nature. And I wanted to include that in the film as well. Somewhat of a strength and the eternal quality of the nature that will inevitably unlive us all, somewhat as silent observers and witnesses to the stories that are passing by their edges. So that was very clearly set from the beginning as a concept. And we decided to use different moods to film them. So what that means is we were searching to film landscape scene in weather. And it is something that Lucien Taylor and artists more gathered around sensory ethnography filmmaking approach talked about a lot. And that is how we cannot perceive landscape separate from the weather we are seeing it in. It is like somewhat of a space-time continuum that affects directly how we our emotion and how we perceive it. So I wanted to film in winter when the weather is a bit harsher to kind of amplify that resilience of nature, how strong it is compared to how human bodies can be weak. So we constantly have this juxtaposition of like nature and human bodies, and also with sounds like the artificial human-made sounds of the car, and then the somewhat like melodically designed sounds of nature and the landscapes and the weather. So that was a play that we wanted to have constantly throughout the film with of course, gradual progressions. We wanted to have like the fog and even snow and rain and strong winds to really paint it not only as, you know, National Geographic, serene, wonderful, beautiful, but to make it more a realistic feel.
So, Thea, it's been fascinating talking with you about roots, and thank you for joining us. It's been amazing. I wish you all the best in Carlo Vivari.
Thank you, and thank you for inviting me and talking with me about roots, and I hope we will have a chance to chat again.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.